Welcome to the Gathering at Meadowview with Doug Messer, a church focused on biblical truth through scriptural teaching. I hope you enjoy the message today.
This morning, in this time that we share together, I want us to think about something, maybe how we're perceived by people who haven't been raised or live as we do or think of the things that we think of our Christian environment. You know, the word Christian was not a name that Christians called themselves at the beginning. In Jerusalem, when they looked for Christians, they said the people who are like Christ. You know, they're like him. That's what the word Christian means, like Christ. And it was a name given by outsiders because their characteristics, lifestyle, beliefs were all the same, like that Jesus guy, Christian. Later on, it was a name that they did call themselves that they would aspire to, that people would see Christ in me. Hassan lived in India. Growing up in India, it's a different culture, a different way of living, a different thought, a different religious group. He was raised Hindu with his parents, all of his family, anybody he knew, they were all Hindu. His primary education, he constantly thought about going to America, going to a university, and becoming a doctor. That's all he wanted to do. As he was finishing his education in India, he read everything he could about United States so that when he came here, he could fit into the culture, not be offensive in any way, understand where the people are coming from. In all the literature that he read, he found out that historically, United States had been Christian, that things were based on Christian belief systems. He didn't understand this. He didn't know what they look like. What do they look like? How do they act? How do they live? So he went to his uncle who had lived in the United States for a few years, and he said, I've read about these Christians. How do I know if I find a Christian? I know everybody who lives in the United States isn't a Christian, but if I run into these people, how do I know? Like my mother, she's Hindu, and she dresses a particular way, and you would know that she's Hindu. So do Christians dress a certain way? His uncle said, no, they dress like most anybody else in America. Well, how do I know? Like if I have a roommate, I don't want to be offensive to him. How do I know if he's a Christian? And his uncle said, well, let me tell you, this is kind of what I found out while I lived in the United States. There's lots of people who say that they're Christian, but lots of them live like everybody else and you wouldn't know any different. But I did meet people who said they were Christian and they were different. There was a difference about them, really. And it wasn't by the way they dressed, no. Well, what was different about them? What did you see, Uncle, that was different from them? I'd like you to take your Bibles and turn with me to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. And we're going to see a guy who you would look at him and you would know that he was different. And he looked very, very common. He had a very common, as you know, he had a very common vocation before he met Jesus. He wasn't any different from anyone else. He wore a robe like other people wore. His facial features, his hair, the way he looked, his mannerism, the accent that he spoke with, wasn't any different from anyone else who was around there. But when you came near him, and you can see in this just little sermonette that he preached, you can see that he is different from other people. Someone who would grow up just where he grew up, live like he lived, he's different from them. And there were characteristics in his life that God planted in him, and they sprouted out. we might find today as we look at some of these features, these characteristics of this man and this story, we might say, you know what, in me, I want that to grow more. And understand this, you're not getting beat up today. It isn't that if the fullest of this characteristic isn't found in you that you're a horrible person. That's not it. All of us progress. We come to a place with God where we're moving forward. And you may see this in you and you say, I want more of that in me. I want more of that characteristic seen from my life. I want people to know that I'm different in this world and that I could be around them and I could work with them and I could be their neighbor and I could live near them. And they would see characteristics in my life that they would say, you must be a Christian. Sometimes we don't have to put the verse on top of us. It isn't that every time you do something, you have to have a verse with it. It should be that when we live and we do things, it's so different from the way other people do things that you are noted to be different. I told Jana, I like art. I like paintings. I like pictures. I'm sorry about this, but I don't like pictures with Bible verses on them. I'm not that stupid. I am dumb. But when I look at it, I already see the Bible verse in it. I already see God in it. I don't have to have it told to me, is what I'm saying. I don't have to do things, and you don't have to do things, and it come with, God made me do that. We can do things as a believer, and the way that you move, and the way that you talk, and the way that you sing, and the way that you act, and the way that you teach, and the way that you are around people, they can see God in you. They see it if it's true within us. This guy, this preacher, this fisherman that we're going to see, when he started speaking, people saw something different in him. They said, he's just like us. He's a common man. And how can that kind of speech come out of him? It's ripping me apart. It's working in me. So here in Acts chapter 2, verse 26, we have a story. You can listen as I read. You can turn there if you wish to. And it starts with verse 26 of Acts chapter 2. Or let's go down to verse 32. God raised Jesus from the dead. This is his sermon. He's preaching this in front of these Jewish people. It says that God raised Jesus from the dead, and we are all witnesses of this. Now he is exalted to a place of highest honor in heaven, at God's right hand, and the Father, as he had promised himself, gave him the Holy Spirit to pour out on us, just as you see and hear today. For David himself never ascended into heaven, yet he said this, the Lord said to my Lord, sit in the place of honor at my right hand until I humble your enemies, making them a footstool under your feet. So let everyone in Israel know for certain that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, to be both Lord and Messiah. Peter's words, listen to this. This is a common man. This is just a fisherman. This is just a guy who looked like everybody else. Peter's words pierced their hearts, and they said to him and to the other apostles, brothers, what should we do? And Peter replied, each one of you must repent of your sins, turn to God, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise is to you and your children and those far away, all who have been called by the Lord Jesus. Then Peter continued preaching for a long time, strongly urging all of his listeners, save yourself from this crooked generation. Listen to this. Those who believe what Peter said were baptized and added to the church that day, only about 3,000 in all. All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship and to the sharing in meals including the Lord's Supper and to prayer. They saw something in him. He was different from the Pharisees and the Sadducees. He was different from those religious leaders. Here he's standing there and he's preaching, and he preached with power that was coming through him that people saw. Hassan's uncle said that the people who are Christians that I have met who are different, I see in them an attitude. When I say that, we would think almost in a negative way. Sometimes he has an attitude, and we think of arrogance and pompous, prideful look. But sometimes attitude is how we approach the world viewed by people around us. Christians' attitudes can be different. They can approach situations with a humble heart. They can approach situations with faith and have hope and believe that something is going to happen with great power from God. They have a different attitude. Here, he walks out in front of these people with an attitude. His attitude was he cared for these people. You know, people can see that in you. They can see attitude in you. They meet you just for a moment, and they leave, and someone will say, who was she? Who was he? They were really nice. I really like them. Well, you only talk to them for 30 seconds. Well, an attitude came out. And we interpret it, and we filter it, and we look at the people's eyes, we look at their expression, and something comes out of them, an attitude, accepted or rejected. You could watch political leaders. You could hear people give speeches. You watch people on TV. You watch athletes after they've had a victory, and an attitude comes. And with this attitude, you filter it, you focus on it, and you decide something right then. People who are close to God, who are Christ-like, have this attitude that's very attractive. People want to be around them. They want to know what they got. They want to hear them say things. There's an attitude that comes through their life and how they approach life. And outside of people looking at me or you, internally, we need to have an attitude. This is progressive. This is growing. This is a way that we live. This comes from God as he shows himself in us. And as we move forward, as we take in his word, as we experience him, it comes out of our life and it is seen. Attitude. Does something hold back attitude? Sometimes. Sometimes defeat, sometimes words. Isn't it amazing? Anything that's ever been started, anything that is good, any ministry that has ever developed, there's always negative thought that comes with it when you express it to other people. But believers who are Christians, who focus on God and his work with their attitude, they say, God's going to do this. Watch what God does. Watch how God moves. Watch how God heals. Watch how God restores. Watch how he fixes things. They have an attitude about them. Real believers have an attitude. I have seen it in people, Christian believers, so often. And what an encouragement it is. It said in that last verse, and all the believers devoted themselves. Why? Because they saw Peter's attitude. They saw it in the apostles. I want that attitude in me too. I'm devoting myself to God because I have seen it real in that person, and I want it too. I want what they got. Would you give me what they got? As Hassan talked to his uncle, he said, and you know, I live next door to a person in America, and I would see them get up and they would go to where their churches are. And there was something I saw in this family. It was different from other people that I went to school with and worked with. They had like this confidence. They had a confidence when they would talk to me. I don't have it, but they had it. It made me question lots of times this confidence that they had, something that they stood on. Our 30th president of the United States, his name was Calvin Coolidge. And he said, nothing is so common that I see is that there are unsuccessful people with great talent. Do you know what? God gives to his children gifts. And with these gifts, his desire is that they're successful for him. He said, if you tell that mountain over there to move, it'll move. If you want to do something, nothing is impossible. If you desire in your heart, and you find a Christian friend, and they desire in their heart the same thing, and you come to me with the right heart, it will happen. Ask, and I'll give it. Seek, and you'll find. Knock, and the door will be opened unto you. Unsuccessful people with enormous talent. They got everything, every resource, and they find it. I love watching that Josh Gates guy, you know? He's that one that does the exploring and goes all over the world and he digs up stuff. The only frustrating thing that I find in it is that he never finds anything. They go out and search for gold somewhere. Inca gold, and there's all these people that know where it is. You know what instantly comes to my mind? I'm going to meet with this one explorer, and he knows where the gold is. Why didn't he go dig it already? I wouldn't tell Josh Gates about it, would you? But anyhow, they go and they search constantly for something that they could put their name on and they could claim it, and they never find anything. With God, he says, I'll give you everything. Enormous talent, strength, ability, creativity. You can accomplish anything through me. There was this man, and his name is Theodore Gissel. And in the 1950s, the United States was very concerned about our level compared to other countries in the world. And China was going far above us in education. And they believed that one of the problems that children had in elementary schools was that they weren't learning to read well, and they weren't learning to read, and no one was teaching them to read. And so there was this man who worked, Theodore, worked for Standard Oil, and he was a cartoonist, and he would do advertisements for Standard Oil, and he attempted to write one children's book, and it was rejected 27 times before a publisher finally published it, and then it didn't sell very many. And why they picked him, I have no idea, and you wouldn't either. They said he was kind of a nerd kind of guy, an egghead kind of guy, a kind of just a rational thinker kind of guy. And they came to him and said, can you do something? The National Board of Education came to him and said, we're going to hire you, and we want you to write something. Do something that will help children in first, second, third grade learn to read and be excited about reading. And these are words that a first grader should know. And there were 250 words that they should know in first grade and be able to read. He spent a couple of months drawing cartoons and writing a book. He didn't like his last name, Gissel, and he decided to use his mother's maiden name when he published his first book. And he named himself Dr. Seuss. And he wrote Cat in the Hat. And pretty soon it was selling everywhere. And then Green Eggs and Ham. And kids were reading all of his books, and he was selling millions of copies of these books and promoted these books and continued to write these books. And he was raised in a good Christian home. He couldn't write it with Jesus's name because they wouldn't publish it in the schools, but he wrote these books and he gave Christian moral principles in all of the books that he wrote. You know what? In our confidence many times, the greatest creator that ever has existed painted that picture out there and those mountains and the dogwoods that are going to start blooming and the Bradford pear trees that are already start. He made all of that, the greatest creator ever. He says, you want to be creative? I give it to you. And you know, if you really believe that, There's a confidence that you have. It's not an arrogance. It's just a confidence that God can do things through me. Nothing is impossible. He can work in us. He can change focuses. He can give true, pure motivation in our life. And there's a confidence that when we walk into a situation, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You know, you're going to be promoted next week. We're going to have you overseeing this different department. We're going to have you do this. You're going to move forward in this. I've never done that before. Thank you. God will enable me. God can do it. God can work in me. God can focus. God can change. God can make the impossible possible. And this uncle said to Hassan, I noticed that these real Christians had a confidence when they moved forward, when they walked ahead, when they accomplished things in their life. There was like a confidence they had that I didn't see in other people. I didn't even see it here in India. But these people have a confidence and a commitment and a focus on the Lord. He said something else I noticed about them. It was kind of like an innocence that they had. And I know it's an odd characteristic, but some of these people that I met who said they were Christians that were in the workplace where I was working, there was like this internal innocence that they would just walk into situations almost blindly, that they had this deep love and commitment for God. I'm going to tell you this. I was hoping Hannah would be able to be here today with little Jasper. But little Jasper, Hannah, if you're at home and you're listening today, listen to this. And little Jasper, he's going to be a preacher someday because he preaches whenever I'm preaching. You probably heard him. I love that little boy. And he has a better sermon than I do because God said, unless you're like this little innocent child, you can't even get to heaven. Now, we lose that without seeing the illustration of it. The illustration of it is Jasper is in love with his mama. And there is not a nursery worker in the world that is going to take him away from his mama. He loves her. He wants to be with her. He will scream and fight to be with his mama. Jesus said, unless you're like Jasper, you ain't coming to heaven. What does Jasper got? He has a love. You know, this innocence that the Christians have is that they have this love. You're not getting me away from God. You are not pulling me out of his arms. In fact, he said in Romans chapter 8, what shall separate me from God's love? Nothing. And I know that. Nothing will pull me away from God. I want God. And I will cry and I will kick if you try pulling me away from him. And I'm going to preach my message. You ever hear Jasper in church? I want you to be reminded. I got to be just like him. That's who I need to be like. I need to be like little Jasper and cry out to the Lord and want him and be excited about him and know him. And there's an innocence that comes with that. Kind of a pure thing within us. I noticed that about those Christians. Guess what? 3,000 people saw Peter and they saw an innocence in him. And they even said, how can this cruddy looking fisherman with messed up hair, and he needs a shave, and rugged looking, smells a little fishy, how can he speak like he speaks? Because God was in him. His desire was to be Christ-like. You know, the verses, the first one where it said attitude, look at verse 37. Peter's words pierced their heart. Why? Because he had attitude. The next one, the confidence that we would have. Each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God. There was a confidence because he knew he had to do that when he followed after the Lord. This innocence is found down here, and guess what? You're found in this passage. You, your household, your own personal life. Look what it says. This promise also to you, to your children, and to those who are far away and the generations that come. that was written about you. You got to do the same thing. When he expressed confidence in the Lord of being saved, he said, this message is coming to you, your children, and those who are far away, who will come to know the Lord later on down the line after we're all gone. That was about us. You got to do the same thing. He had a confidence when he preached this. There was an innocence that was there. And then there's a movement. Look at this verse, verse 41. Those who believed what Peter said were baptized and added to the church that day, about 3,000 in all. Hansen's uncle said, I noticed one other thing about them. It seemed like when they would put effort into things, something would happen. Like I remember at work, there was a man and he started this Bible study thing. He put a little sign up on a bulletin board. I would sometimes see him at lunch sitting at a break table. He would have his head down and he'd be, I guess, praying to his God. And he put this little thing up that said, we're going to have a Bible study. And I thought, who would come to a Bible study during break time? And you know, just a few weeks after that, I went to the break room and I couldn't even get in the door because there were so many people in the room and they were all listening to this man as he was talking. And it seems like things happened with these Christians. There was like a movement, like something happened in their lives when they would put effort into it. And I truly believe that. I believe if we do the things that God asks us to do, his hand comes on it. And there is a movement, and he changes people, and he focuses on people, and he does things, and many hear. And God doesn't just put effort into things that aren't investments that he gains from. I don't know if you know this, but the investment rate is going up, still going up. That's a whole lot of money when there's high percentage rates. When God puts something into something and he invests in it, there's a whole lot of percentage rate. I mean, it goes up and it goes up and it goes up because he doesn't throw away effort. He says he doesn't cast pearls in front of swine. When he puts something into something, his desire is that it multiplies. So what do I do? I'm a Christian. I'm living today in this world. My desire is in my life that this God thing is real. I'm not going to go around with a Bible verse on my head so people will say, oh, he must be a Christian. I truly believe, and I've seen it in so many people, and I see it in some of you too, that if we're real Christians, we could be on an assembly line with machines running and you can't hear anybody, and all day be doing the same thing, and people would notice that you're different just in the way that you work. I truly believe that people can see God in us, and they would say, you must go to church, or you must be a Christian. I don't have to yell at people if they cuss. I don't have to. You just are there in that place. I have worked with what people would call the worst of the worst, but God loved them. I've worked in Louisiana on barges with people that are unbelievable, but God worked in them. I've worked with truck drivers and coal miners and people in different places, and you would say these are the worst of the worst. But you know what I would see sometimes when their wife said that they didn't want to be married to them anymore? Or their kids got on drugs and the police called them. They were broken men and they desired that you pray for them. Would you pray for me? I didn't have to put a sign on my back that says, I will pray for you in a need. You didn't either. And people come to you and people want to hear it and they want truth and they want to know that this stuff you say you are, you filled out an application and it said religion. You check background, but there's more than just checking it. It's how we live, how we act. Are we perfect? No. Do we mess up sometimes? Even in the mess ups, God can be shown. You know what? The other day, I'm really sorry that I lost my temper and I said what I said. I really do care about you, and it was wrong for me to do that. You just made some hurdles that are unbelievable. But you messed up. No, I made it right. Because people outside the Lord don't care about that. Oh, lump it. You know, forget about it. Shouldn't get mad about it. You tick me off. You know, that's how people are outside of Christ. But you're different. You're a Christian, Christ-like. How do I grow? How do I get to that place? How is God seen more in me? He says, you will know them by their fruit. The Holy Spirit of God, who Peter talked about, possesses us. And he starts coming out of us. Right now, at Tractor Supply, the co-op, and Walmart, there are trees everywhere. And you go and look, and there's this little picture, and it said, Red Delicious. And you see all these little red apples on the tree, and you say, I'm going to plant that because I want those apples in my yard growing. Well, that so does God. And when we root ourselves down in him and we take from him into our life, all of a sudden this fruit starts coming out. And it's not us, it's him. And all of a sudden there's an attitude starts developing after the blossoming. And there's a confidence that begins to come. And there's an innocence that is seen. And we love God more than anything else, and we kick and scream to have him. And then there's a movement when we follow after the Lord. I think this little passage of scripture is a form that we would follow after. It's an ideal that we would love to happen in our life. And the word Christian, that I don't have to say it, I don't have to check it. It just comes out of me.
Thank you for listening. Join us here in person at the Gathering in Meadowview in Rogersville, Tennessee. Or join us next week right here on the Dig Bible Podcast.